This evening we're coming to the end of our communion season as we give thanks to God for his blessings to us as we gathered around the table earlier today. And over this past week we've been considering a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. Just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Over our communion season, we've divided these two verses into three main thoughts. Firstly, as we saw at our pre-communion service, there is an appointment that has to be kept, an appointment that's been set for all of us. We are destined to face death, and after that, judgment. Then this morning, as we came to the Lord's table, we noted the atonement that has been given. Jesus Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many. Jesus Christ is that perfect, once for all, sacrifice for our sin. And he takes away or carries away our sin. And so although it's appointed for us to die once, we've no fear of the judgment to come. Because in Jesus Christ, that judgment has been taken. And we noted this morning that this event of Christ's death and resurrection and ascension, that it is the key, pivotal moment in all of history. That once-for-all event that secures our salvation for all who are in Christ. It's the key moment in history. But it's not the end of history. Because there's also something to come. And that brings us, lastly this evening, to the anticipation of what is to come. The anticipation of what is to come. We're told in the closing words of verse 28 that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. There's a looking forward for the Christian. Not only has Jesus Christ died once for our sin, and so we look back to that glorious one-time event, but we are told that he will come a second time. Not only has our sin been dealt with in the past, in that once-for-all sacrifice, but we also have a sure and certain hope for the future, for what's to come. We are to be forward-looking men and forward-looking women and forward-looking boys and girls. There is an anticipation for what is to come. That's what we're coming to then this evening. And we see firstly that this anticipation is the appearing of Jesus Christ. The appearing of Jesus Christ. The word appear, here it has to do with what is seen. That which is visible to the eye. Certainly Jesus Christ was seen when he came as a baby born into this world. He was seen as he grew as a man. He was seen on the cross, suffering and dying for sin. But then he was also seen when he appeared after he rose from the dead. It's an entirely appropriate word to use for the resurrection. People were able to cast their eyes on that which was visible. Jesus really rose from the dead. The high priest in the Old Testament, when he went in to offer the sacrifice, to sprinkle the blood there before the Ark of the Covenant, he would go into the Holy of Holies. He'd be out of sight of the people. But then after the atonement was made, he would then appear. The high priest came out after he had made propitiation for sins. His coming out from the Holy of Holies was a sign that the sacrifice is complete. The people were waiting with anticipation, waiting for the high priest to appear. Would he come out? Would God accept the sacrifice? And then he appears. This is what Christ did when he rose from the dead. The high priest appeared. The sacrifice was complete. It was accepted by God the Father. The blood was sprinkled before the very presence of God. The sacrifice was once for all, and it was acceptable. And so Jesus appeared. He appeared at his birth. He appeared at the resurrection. But only some people got to see that appearance. Only a few people got to see that appearance. Here in verse 28, we are told of another second appearing of Christ. And this is different. This is his return. We see that he will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. He comes not as the sacrifice for sin. So there's something different about this appearing. He comes not as the one who has come to take away the sin of the world. But this appearing, we are told, will be apart from sin. This tells us that this appearing of Jesus Christ will not be as the suffering servant. It will not be the one who grieves and is distressed and suffers by becoming the sin bearer. This next appearing of Jesus Christ will not be as the substitute who takes the punishment that our filthy, twisted, ungodly deeds deserve. He's already done that for his people. He's been offered once. No, this appearing is different. He comes not to deal with sin. He comes not as the lamb. He comes not as the sacrifice. Not as the suffering servant. But he comes in his majesty. He comes as judge. He comes as king. He will appear. And this second appearing of Jesus Christ, Scripture makes it clear, will be visible to the whole world. It won't be appearing in little Bethlehem. It won't be in the corner of the Roman Empire. But this second appearing will be in full glory and in triumph. And Scripture tells us that the heavens will be opened, they will be ripped apart, the sky will be rolled up. And Jesus Christ will be seen by every eye. Everyone will see the second coming of Jesus Christ to earth. Not as the humble sufferer, but as the mighty judge before whom all people must give account. He will descend from heaven with a shout. He will gather those who are his. The second appearing of Jesus Christ will be so very different to the first appearing. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. And we don't know when that will be. Scripture doesn't say when this is. There are no hidden codes in the Bible as to when this will occur. And no matter what some people might say, we can't work out when Jesus Christ will return. Rather, God's word is clear that he will come like a thief. We won't know the day or the hour. It'll come upon us in an unexpected moment, that is, an unknown time. It'll be sudden, this appearing. And it will be the end of this world and the beginning of the new heavens and the new earth. The whole of creation is moving towards this point. Just as we were thinking this morning about how the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus was the pivotal moment in history, that moment that everything revolves around and which everything depends on. So what we are coming to is going to be the end point of history and the beginning of the new heavens, the new earth. He will appear. And his appearing will be certain. It will be certain. Verse 27 and 28. Just as we are destined to die once, and just as judgment follows death, and just as Christ died once for sin, so he will appear. It is certain. Every eye will see Jesus Christ coming in glory. How very different to that first appearing in Bethlehem. How much more glorious, much more majestic, how much more wonderful. And his first appearing in Bethlehem was glorious and wonderful. This was God in the flesh. God taking on our human form, God with us. But here was the one who came as the Lamb of God, the sin bearer. But when he comes again, it will not be to deal with sin. And every eye will see him. He comes to bring in judgment and usher in the fullness of his kingdom. The anticipation is of Jesus Christ appearing. But secondly, we have here the purpose of his appearing. There's an anticipation concerning the purpose of his appearing. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting. How different his first and second appearing are. This second appearing that will be the full display of his eternal glory and majesty as he comes as judge will be so different. Now we might ask the question, well, why has Jesus not come already? Why has he delayed this second appearing? It's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years since he first appeared. So why has it taken so long? Well, we have to remember that God is long-suffering. God is patient. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Jesus has not yet appeared the second time because God is patient. God is long-suffering. Today is still a day when the gospel can go out. Today is still a day when men, women, and children can still come to God and confess their sin and find forgiveness. God has been so very patient with this creation. But that doesn't mean that Christ won't come in judgment. Because there will come a day when all the works that have been done on earth will be exposed. They will be laid bare. They will be made visible. There will come a day when the judge of all the earth will judge the earth. That's what we're told is the purpose of Christ's second appearing. He will come not to deal with sin, not to be the sin bearer, but he comes to bring the judgment that we have in verse 27. He comes to judge the wicked. On that day, he will separate those who are his from those who are not his. He will divide the whole of humanity into two groups. There will be those who have their sins forgiven in Christ Jesus, those who are saved, and then there are those who are still opposed to Christ, who have not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. There's no other division that matters. We are either those who are saved at Christ's appearing, or we are those who will come under the eternal judgment of God at Christ's appearing. And if you're not a Christian this evening, either sitting here or watching online, then you need to know, you need to be reminded that when you stand before Jesus Christ, there won't be a second chance for salvation. There'll be no opportunity on that day to repent of your sins or to seek forgiveness. Jesus Christ has been offered once for sin. He came the first time as the sin bearer. And so when you stand before him, either at your death or at his appearing, he will not be there as the sin bearer, but as the judge. And so if you're not in Christ today, you must come to him. You must come to the one who went to the cross for our sin. You must come to the sin bearer today while God is still patient and long-suffering before you stand before him with Christ as judge. Because on that day it will be too late. And on that day he will send you to the eternity that we deserve for our sin. The purpose of his second appearing is not to deal with sin, not to be the sin bearer, but to be the judge. But then we are also told that for those who are eagerly waiting for him, that is, for those who are in Christ, his second appearing will be a great salvation. Because that second appearing, he will come not to deal with sin, but to save. For those who are Christ's, that second appearing will mean the ushering in of the fullness of his kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. It will mean complete salvation. It will mean the raising up of those who have died in Christ and being reunited to their souls in heaven. It'll mean the gathering up of his people who are still alive at his appearing and bringing us all together into the new heavens and the new earth where there is no suffering, no sin, and no misery. Scripture also tells us, and we sang it earlier on from Psalm 149, that as Christ gathers up his people, we also, as his people, stand in judgment on the fallen world. The purpose of his appearing is to be judge and to have his people stand with him in judgment on those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And after that judgment, brought into the new heavens and new earth, and there completely blessed, praising and serving and glorifying God, enjoying God forever. The blessedness of that eternal life is forever and ever. The purpose of Christ's second appearing is to not deal with sin as the sacrifice for sin, but to bring judgment on a fallen world. But for those who are his, for those who've come in faith, for those who have had their sin carried away there on the cross, it'll be for the fullness of our salvation. The new heavens and the new earth is the purpose of his appearing. We anticipate the appearing of Jesus Christ. We anticipate the purpose of this appearing. And then thirdly and finally, we have those who anticipate his appearing. Those who anticipate his appearing are those who eagerly wait for him, as we are told here in Hebrews 9:28. This is a wonderful, beautiful expression. We have it in different ways in Scripture. Another beautiful way to phrase this is found in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. those who have loved his appearing or longed for his appearing. Jesus Christ is returning. Jesus Christ will appear a second time. And there are those who are eagerly waiting for him. That is his people. Those that he bore the punishment of sin for. Those who have had their sins carried away in him. We eagerly wait for him. But that means we have to wait. This is a very tender and pastoral suggestion to us, or phrasing for us. We wait. It isn't easy waiting. We have someone in our house who isn't very patient. It's neither of the adults. That isn't true. Neither of us is patient. I'm sure it's the same in your households. We're not very good at being patient or waiting for things that we want. We don't like waiting. It's hard to wait. And then when we include on our lack of patience the fact that this waiting includes trials and tribulations and difficulties, and probably as we get older, we become less and less patient. We live in a society that demands everything here and now, an instant society. But here, we are told we have to wait for his appearing. And that does mean that we will have to wait through suffering. We will have to wait through the trials of various kinds that come in on us. We will have to wait as loved ones pass through the valley of the shadow, and as we pass through the valley of the shadow. It can be hard waiting. It can be heartbreaking waiting. But here we are told, as Christ's people, we are to wait. We are to endure. We are to persevere. And we are to wait eagerly. We are to wait eagerly. This means living for Jesus Christ. It's not all gloom and misery. Yes, there is suffering and there are trials, but we wait with an anticipation and with an excitement and with a looking forward that's sure and certain. And it means that as we wait, we are eager in our living for Jesus Christ. We are to live as those who live for our Lord and Savior. We are to live as those who seek to obey him and serve him and worship him and proclaim him. We are to live as those who witness and worship for him. There is to be an eager, active waiting for Jesus Christ. And looking forward to the second appearing. It's to stir our hearts. It's to engage our minds. It's to flow from our lips. Jesus Christ is returning. We are to live for him. We're to be eager in our waiting. We are eager in our waiting, also knowing that we will face death one day. But we will stand before Jesus Christ, the one who bore our sin on the cross. And so we know that as we wait, we are waiting for the fullness of that salvation, that eternal joy and satisfaction that is in Jesus Christ. This is one way that we recognize and know who Christ's people are. One way for us to know and recognize those who have benefited from his once for all sacrifice for sin. We are those who eagerly wait for him. It means that we're ready to live like him. Ready to forgive those who've sinned against us. Ready to show the love of Christ Jesus. ready to strive for and work for the unity and the peace of his church, the bride, ready to speak for him? Are we eager in our waiting? Do we live for Christ in our waiting? Do we look forward in our waiting? Looking forward to the glory to come and all the eternal joy that that brings. He will appear a second time to save his believing, repentant, expectant people. Friends, we are to long for our love, his second coming, looking forward to it. As we had in our call to worship, and I want to finish with this, in Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Christ Jesus will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. There's an anticipation. Are you eagerly waiting as you consider all that Jesus Christ has done for you? Amen.